Praise God. Well, when it is a sacrifice to give God praise is when you don't feel like it, right? So I know we've worked all day, emotionally, mentally, physically, we're tired. So now is a perfect time to give God a sacrifice of praise. Let's give Him a sacrifice of praise right now and just lift up His name and exalt Him and tell the Lord, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for what you did for me today and on the cross. And thank you for your goodness to me and my family. God, I don't deserve it, but I thank you didn't give me what I deserve. Hallelujah. I bless the name of the Lord. If you were in the Old Testament, you would have to have brought a turtle dove, a grain offering. You would have had to brought a goat or a sheep or a bullock. But thank God you didn't have to drag that animal here tonight. Amen. Because Jesus did it for us. Amen. Yes, he did. Well, the Lord bless you. You can be seated. Thank all of you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. I do appreciate you. And I think our youth are in with us tonight. I'm glad you're going to be in here tonight. We have men's conference. If you men would like to come up, you're welcome to come up on Thursday night. That starts Thursday night. And then most of the day, Friday night, and then Saturday morning. And we're going to have a great, great time at Tioga. Also, Church in a Day. I believe there's a group of Hope House men going. Some of you Hope House guys plan on going. That's going to be great, and I thank you for that. All of y'all are going. That's fantastic. It's like Morgan said on Sunday, that is an amazing experience to see a slab and then them actually worshiping on Sunday with AC. It's quite remarkable. So thank you guys for going. And then registration for kids camp is open. And you can register at ladistupc.com. You say, what does that mean? That stands for the ladistrictupc.com. And you can register your kids. And then our last announcement is our TPC scholarship is open to all TPC graduating seniors. How many seniors do we have? Do we have any here? All right, Michael, that means you're open for a scholarship if you would want to apply for that. And the deadline is May, I believe, the 12th. And you can see Brother Cameron or Sister Caitlin Robinson for that. Some of our prayer requests, Brother Oscar Lede needs our prayer. Lakin Taylor and Cameron, Carrie Stratton, Ruth Rushing. Remember Brother Larry Darty. The Gillen family and the Wheeler family, both of them, those families have had a season of loss. So if you would remember them in prayer. And if our ushers would come, we're going to give all of you a wonderful opportunity and plan and opportunity to give. Let me just have your attention just a moment as we get ready to give. We have been on a 3-year capital campaign to raise money for our buildings and for property. And I just want to thank all of you for every dollar that you have given into our build fund. It has gone to purchase property. It went to pay off of our debt. And because of you, we have become debt free. And thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. So what I want to tell you is May, the end of May, that 3 years will be over. And we have never knocked on anyone's door. We've never made one phone call. We've never done anything like that to say, hey, are you going to pledge this month or where is your pledge? Because that's not how we operate. We believe that when you make a commitment, you're going to follow through with it to the best of your ability. Now, let me say this. If you would like to continue that pledge, it's not necessary. It's not mandatory, but that would be wonderful. And we would put it in our building fund because, as you can see, we're fixing to build. And every dollar that you would give, you say, Pastor, how would I do that? Well, on your envelope, you could put build, or on the online giving is build. And that would go into our build account, and those dollars would go directly to the church. So I just want you to know, if you would want to continue that, that would be great. And if you can't, well, the Lord knows. But thank all of you for your giving. And everybody say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, every name that has been called tonight and in prayer, we lift them up, our brothers and sisters, and we ask you to strengthen them and touch them. You know what they have need of. And Lord, we pray, God, for this offering, that it would continue to, Lord, bless not only this assembly and this community, not only regionally, but globally, literally around the world as we support missions and various ministries. Thank you for every dollar given. and we give you the praise. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of Day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Amen. Well, the Lord's blessed TPC with some rich talent, hasn't it? And we give God praise for that. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, thank all of you for being here on a Wednesday night and all of you that have joined us online. We thank you for that. I talked to a man today and he said, is Sister Neyland speaking tonight? And I said, no. He said, well, I won't be tuning in then. he said, I'm just joking with you, Pastor. But Janet, I want to tell you, I'm so, so blessed. You know, I've been around ministry most all my life, but I'm going to just admit to you that I have learned about how revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's more than horned beast and eyes, and it's the revelation of Jesus. And Janet, I'm going to just tell you publicly, you have helped me. I mean that. You have helped me. Because I've never have been a revelation guy. My dad was, but I wasn't. But I've read the book numerous times, but never have I seen it in the light that you have shared it. And I just want you to know I appreciate that. Thank you. You've done a great job. Well, tonight's lesson is going to be on identity. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going through so many scriptures. And if you don't, you can look up on the screen. I'm going to do something that I don't know that I've ever done. And that is, I'm going to be more what's called expository preaching, which will mean I'm going verse by verse. But typically when you do what's called expository preaching, you take one chapter and you go through all of those verses. Here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take numerous verses because I want to try to make a point, and we're going to be a little more expository tonight. So I do pray that this will bring value to your Christian walk. Let's pray. Father, for the next 30 minutes, would you just anoint my mind and my mouth? Let your spirit flow from my mouth into the heart of your people. And Lord, may your people gain value from this lesson tonight so that we can know who we are in Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So I talked to you Sunday morning about identity, and I said that I wanted to do a deep dive into it. And so this is the beginning of that. If you have your lesson, will you get that out? And I want you to look at the sheet that has the scriptures on it. And if you don't have a sheet, please raise your hand and one of these fine gentlemen will get you a sheet of paper. We're going to talk about being accepted in Christ. So here we go. John chapter 1, verse 12. Hopefully these scriptures will be coming up on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I want you to say this with me. Say, I am accepted in Christ. Say it again. I am accepted in Christ. I'm going to try to be expository, but I feel preach on me. Your mama may not have accepted you. Your aunt may not have accepted you. Your teacher may not have accepted you. You know what? And I'm sorry about that. I truly am, because rejection is a very strong emotion. But here's what I want you to understand, that Christ accepts you. You are accepted in the beloved. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Say this with me. You're going to talk a lot tonight. Say, I am a child of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you are. With all your warts, your flaws, your faults, your failures, you're still a child of God. God don't look at me through my warts and through my pimples and through my faults and through my failures. He looks at me through the blood. And when he looks at me through the blood, he sees me as faultless. He sees me as a child of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. I may not feel like a child of God right now. I may not feel saved. I may not feel like a Christian, but it doesn't matter how I feel because I am saved. I'm saved. Right now I am saved. I am in the process of being saved and I shall be saved. Did you get all that? I am a child of God. It's not based off of how I feel. It's based off of faith in God's word. Now, when did you become your parents' child? I'll tell you when you were born, right? When you were born, that's when you became. Rick, when you were born, what was that back in 1938? When you were born in 38, I'm just joking, somewhere in the 60s, like me, when you were born, you became a Solomon, right? You didn't have a choice in the matter. You took upon your father's name. When are we born? When we receive Christ and we repent of our sins and we receive his spirit and we're baptized in his name. And when we receive Christ, then we are born again. When you are born again, you become a child of God. Right? Say, I'm a child of God. You better warm your voice up because you're going to be talking a lot. That's who you are. That's who you are. You're a child of God. Now, John 15 and 15 in your lesson. Here we go. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Say, I'm a friend of God. No, say it like you mean it. I'm a friend of God. You are accepted by God. Why? Because you're his child. Now, you got to understand something. We're all called to be servants. I am to serve you. You are to serve me. We are to serve one another and this community. So he's not negating that we're not servants. We are servants. But what he's saying is that what I don't want is a dictatorship. I want a friendship, right? So in other words, in a friendship, the friends that I have, I communicate with them, and then I come alongside them and support them. That's a friendship. It's not a dictatorship. God is not saying that we don't serve one another, but he is saying in the relationship is what he wants, is he wants to talk to you, and then he wants you to talk to him. He wants it to be a two-way street. And listen, I have talked to some of my friends for an over an hour, sometimes hours. Why? Because I enjoy it, right? This is not something that God is forcing any of us to do. It's something that he wants from us. He wants a friendship. That's who you are. Say, I am a friend of God. Let's go now to Romans 5 and 1. You have been justified. This is very important for you to know this. You have been justified. Justification, that's a big word, but here's what it means, and it's important for you to know this. It means a couple of things. When I am justified, God looks at it as just as if I never did it, just as if I never sinned, okay? Then another one is this, declared to be just. God declares me to be just. So I am accepted not on my own righteousness, because my righteousness is as filthy rags, right? But so how am I accepted? Because again, I am made just through the blood of Christ. Just as if I have never sinned. That's justification. Isn't that beautiful? So you are justified. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that even though I may have sinned today, which I don't think that I did, but if I would have sinned today, I could still come before the Lord. Why? Because he sees me through the blood. Now, if I would have been a high priest and would have sinned and come before the Lord behind the veil, he would have killed me. So I can even now come into the presence of the Lord, even with sin in my life. Why? Because of what Christ did for me at Calvary. So he sees me as justified. Did you get that? All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. Here it is. Nope. No, I need to go back, don't I? Here's Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, you have been justified by what? By faith. What caused Abraham to be righteous? Abraham was righteous, why? By faith. Thank you, George. By faith. God saw him as righteous because of his faith. It was imputed to him. In other words, it was placed in his account. He was righteous because of his faith. You are righteous. I have never seen my sins forgiven. Have you? I've never seen the blood of Jesus on the cross. Have you? I never watched Jesus go to a whipping post for me. Have you? But that's why it is impossible to please God without faith. It takes faith to believe that there was a man named Jesus that went to a cross on my behalf, and his blood was sinless blood, and he shed it so that I could be justified. And you have to do it through faith. Does that make sense? So faith is what brings justification in the finished work of Christ. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. You are united with the Lord and one with him in spirit. You're one. Say, I'm one. With him in spirit. But he who is joined to the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, this is going to get a little mature here, so I need you to hang on. I'm not going to look at all the verses in this particular passage because I don't have time because of all that I want to cover. But many people take things out of context, and the best way to know the context of a scripture is to read the scriptures before it and after it. Okay? So if you read the scriptures before this passage and the scriptures after it, what this is talking about is that when a man and a woman come together and they join their bodies, they become one. That's what this passage is talking about. And so the writer goes on to say that it's very important. And youth, I don't want to be awkward here, but I want to share God's word. This is why it's very important that you don't just share your body with everyone. You wait for that special one. Because according to scripture, when you share your body with someone, you are imparting your spirit into that person, and that person is imparting their spirit into you, and God sees it as one. You may never go get a marriage license, but you don't have to get a marriage license for God to look at you as one. When you have intimacy with someone, God sees it as oneness. And this is why the scripture says, flee sexual immorality. Because God is using a man and a woman coming together to express how he sees us. When God's spirit comes in us, then we are in Christ, then we are in oneness. We are in unity. His spirit comes in us, we are in Christ, we are one. And that's why you are accepted, brothers and sisters, because God sees you as one with him. Does that make sense? All right. So, let's go now to 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For you have been bought with a price. You belong to God. This is again why I teach modesty. Modesty. Why modesty? Okay, modesty is because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Women, I don't want to pick on you because modesty is about men too. But women, you got to be careful because man gets excited by his eye. And it's just the truth. Women, God's blessed you, and you just have to be careful how you present your bodies. Because your bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And so therefore be modest because your body is the temple of Christ. Men, the women are not so prone and excited by their eye. They're more ear gate. But at the same time, men, it goes for us as well. We should be modest in our dress. Why? Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? Does that make sense? So, now, you were, the Bible says, bought with a price. You belong to God. So he bought us. And the price he was willing to pay was what? His very life. Now, how do you know how much your home is worth? It is appraised, right? And so your agent comes up to you, and let's just say your agent says, I think your home is worth $159,000. You get a buyer, and the buyer says, I'm only going to be willing to pay $152,000. It really doesn't matter what it is appraised for. What matters is what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's how you know how much it's worth. You may think it's worth $159,000 all day long, and it may be. But if somebody's not willing to pay $159,000 and you want to sell it, you're going to be willing to sell it at $152,000. Now, how do I know I'm valuable? Because I look and see the price that Christ paid to redeem me. And then I remind myself, if I would have been the only one upon the earth, he would have gone through that just for me to give me a choice whether I wanted to serve him or not. So anytime the devil makes you think you're not valuable, you just point him to the cross and say, I want to remind you, Satan, of how valuable that I am. That Jesus Christ came and gave his one and only son so that he could redeem me. Isn't that great? All right, now look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 25. This is all on you are accepted. This is identity. This is what I'm talking about. I want you to get your identity, not from what you drive, from where you live, what you wear, or who your friends are, or how much you earn. You know why? Because a hurricane has showed us you can have a house today and a tree be through it tomorrow. Right? You can have X amount in your bank account today, and then it's all gone through a health crisis. You can have this title today, and then they come and give you a pink slip because corporate America don't care about you. They care about the bottom dollar. What are you saying? I'm saying that all of this stuff, brothers and sisters, that we find our identity in. This is why I'm trying now to process in my mind. I don't want to have my identity as pastor of this church. Because anything can be taken away. What do you want your identity in? So what I'm trying to say now is I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's who I am. Because as soon as you sit on an airplane and they act like the person beside you, they want to talk, and especially if it's a man, you give it 5 minutes, and I'm going to tell you the question he's going to ask me. What do you do? Isn't that right? That's what men ask. What do you do? My answer is going to start being, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to see how much they want to talk then. Why? Because that cannot be taken from me. And here's what happens. We get way too much of a temporal view. And I'm guilty. Because if I allowed myself, I could be very frustrated right now seeing where America is going. And the nonsense that is taking place in our leadership. And the fear that is happening, and the way that, you know, we're treating one another. And I could get real cynical. But what I have to remind myself is this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I have to keep reminding myself that my identity is not in what I drive. Hallelujah. My identity is not in the church that I pastor. My identity is not where I live. My identity is that I've been bought, redeemed, and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And my eternal home is heaven. Hallelujah. Streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. That's my home. And I had to keep reminding myself of that, because if you don't, you can get bogged down in what you see. This is why you got to walk by faith and not by sight. This is why you got to have an eternal viewpoint instead of just a temporal viewpoint. Is that all right? All right, so now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. You are a member of the body of Christ. The scripture says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Do you understand that your body was created to serve? Look at your neighbor and tell him, you were created to serve me. Tell him, you were created to serve me. You know, but that's really true. Your body was created to serve. You know what these hands did this morning? These hands served me today. At 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whenever I ate, these hands served food to my mouth. My legs served me by carrying me to the car that carried me here that got me in here. My legs served me. My eyes served me today. All day I was in the Word, reading the Word. Your body is created to serve you. Now, as you are in this body, you are created to serve me, and I am created to serve you, and we are created to serve one another. Somebody in this room is the eye, somebody is the ear, somebody is the big toe, somebody's the pinky, somebody is the lungs. I don't know who that somebody is, but all together we make up the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play. I love you very much, but God didn't call me nor you to come and sit and soak and get sour. He called us to serve one another, to serve our community, and to serve the body of Christ. Quit saying I'm nothing and I don't have anything, lest you wind up bearing your talent and God calling you a slothful servant. Slothful why? Because you didn't use what you had to serve others. Because you downplayed it. And you said, I'm not important. And God says, you are important because I died for you. And I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. Now don't discount what I did for you. You're valuable. And you're in the body. And I'm calling you to do more than sit and soak and get sour. Can we keep going? Ephesians 1 and 1, say, I am a saint. That's what the Bible calls you. Paul, an epistle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. And scholars don't think that this was just a letter just to the Ephesians. They think this was a letter to all of the churches that went in circulation. So you are a saint. What is a saint? You think about a saint. A saint is somebody that has been consecrated, set apart. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're set apart. What am I set apart to do? To do the works of Christ. I am set apart to do the works of Christ. There's only one pastor here, and that's who God's called me. But we're all ministers. What does the word minister mean? It means to serve. We're all ministers. We're saints. We're just like the Bible tells us that we're priests and high priests. As the high priest in the Old Testament was set apart to serve, so are you. You're set apart to do what? To serve, to show forth the works of God. Are y'all okay? See, I'm saved by grace through faith, right? I'm not saved by good works, but I'm saved for good works. I'm going to say that again. I'm not saved by good works. I am saved for good works. Why? He saved me. He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. For why? So that I can carry on the ministry of Christ in the earth. Does that make sense? Okay. Can we keep going? All right. So Ephesians 1 and 5. You have been adopted as God's children. Adopted as God's children. Look at Ephesians 1 and 5. Here it is. Having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you understand that you're not a cute orphan? You're not a cute orphan. You wasn't attractive. Neither was I. We were enemies in rebellion against God. But this is who God is. God has decided before the foundation of the world that he was going to adopt us. Not because we were cute little Annie orphans. We were rebellious. We were the enemies of Christ. Here's what Romans 5 and 10 says, and it's not up on the screen. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? What does that word reconcile mean? It means to bring back or to bring together. Okay? We were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his son. So our adoption, brothers and sisters, this is very important, is not based off of our worthiness or our attractiveness. It's based off of the sovereignty of God that by his grace, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, he already had predestined to save us. Oh, hallelujah. See, the Jews looked down on all the Gentiles. They thought that we were inferior, an inferior race. But God didn't see us as an inferior race. He saw us as one body, and he died for all of us. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in God's sight. Now, let's go to Ephesians 2 and 18. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. I've said this many times. I'm going to keep saying it. You ready? The Holy Ghost is more than speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost is to lead you and guide you. The Holy Ghost, one of the things that the Holy Ghost does is it gives you access to God. Say, what do you mean? Okay, here's the example. Let's say that you were going to meet the Queen of England. You would not just run up to the Queen of England and say, "Hi, my name is Gwen." You wouldn't do that. There's going to be somebody there that is going to introduce you to the Queen of England. That's protocol, right? You agree? You're not going to just run up to some president and say, "Hi, my name's Madeline. What's happening?" That's not going to happen. Somebody is going to introduce you if you're going to have a meeting with them. Why? Because of who they are. They're a high-ranking official. You can't get any higher than the God of the universe. And so what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit gives you access unto the Father. And this is why when you come in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can come and say, "Jesus, I've done wrong today. I've messed up, but I have access to you based off of what you did for me at Calvary." And the Holy Spirit says that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is part of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Another one is to lead you and guide you. Give you fresh revelation. You can read a verse today and read it tomorrow or next month and it's fresh to you. It's bread to you, right? That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's he that gives us access to God. Now, let's go to Colossians 1 and 14. You have been redeemed and forgiven of your sins. That verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, redeem. This is important to me that you know these phrases. What does redeem mean? It means to gain or to regain possession of something in exchange for payment. What does that mean? It means that Christ gave his blood and his all and his life to regain you. Right? Because he lost Adam in the garden when Adam sinned. But he regained us in a garden when he fulfilled the will of God. And when he gave his life on the cross, he regained us, means he redeemed us. Okay? So now you've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. Now look at Colossians 2 and 10. You are complete in Christ. Say this with me. Say, "I am complete in Christ." Here's the scripture. "And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers." You are complete. Your in-laws or your outlaws or your parents or whatever, you may not think you're enough. They may not have thought you're enough, but that's not how God sees you. God sees you as complete in him. God's estimation of us is equivalent. Now check this out. This is fixing to blow your mind. You ready for this? God's estimation of us is equivalent to his estimation of Christ. I'm going to say it again. God's estimation of us is equivalent to his estimation of Christ. Well, you say, how is that? Because God sees us already perfected in him. He already sees us perfected in him, complete in him, lacking nothing. You say, Pastor, that's hard to believe. I know it is. But now I'm going to give you another scripture. You don't have it up there on the screen, but it's in your Bible. Ephesians 2 and 20 says this, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here's what I see. God is like, look, you're my child. I see you as I see myself, already perfected. Now sit down here with me. I know, brothers and sisters, this is hard to believe, but in God's mind, he already sees you in heaven. I know. It's mind-boggling. God already sees you in the foreknowledge of God as seated with him in heavenly places. That's why he sees you as complete. This is why God doesn't freak out when you sin. I know you've been taught that. I had too, but that's not true. When you sin, you break fellowship. You don't break relationship. You break fellowship. Now, somebody's going to have to say they're sorry, and it's not going to be him. It's going to be you. But just because you sin, God doesn't go to the divorce court with you. You just become a disobedient child, but he still loves you. He still has a plan for you. And then if you continue in your sin, then God will do what's called chastening you. Because he loves you so much, he wants you saved and not lost. And if he's got to, he'll go to the very nth degree, even put you on your back to get your attention. Not because he hates you, not because he's angry with you, but because he loves you. Those he chastens, he loves. Why? Because he's trying to get your attention. Why? Because he don't want you to be lost. Am I helping anybody tonight? He already sees you. See, this is why I want you to get this, because this is your identity. Do I feel right now in my own flesh like I'm seated with Christ in heaven? No, I don't. I don't. Okay? I don't, but it doesn't matter what I feel. This is why I've got to say what the Word says about me. So it starts changing my identity and the way that I see myself. We are secure in Christ. We are accepted in Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Can I keep going? Okay. Now let me say this before I go on. Your condition may not be great tonight. In fact, some of you may not have $5 in your wallet, and I'm sorry. Hear me. Your condition financially may not be good. Your relationships may not be good. But if you get this, your position is out of this world. Because I am positioned already in God's mind, seated on the throne with him. Thank you for that. He said, you're preaching way better than what we're amening. So I received that. So your condition may not be great, but your position is secure. What is my position? I am seated with Christ. He already sees me complete in him. I'm redeemed. I am forgiven. I am loved. I am valuable. I am chosen. I am adopted. Does that make sense? Okay, so now you're secure in Christ. Let me go a few more minutes. Oh, my Lord. I can't go. It's 7:54. No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick this up. We're going to pick this up next week. Now what I want you to do, okay, because I'm not near done. Here's what I want you to do. Turn your page over. My Lord, time flies for me. Turn your page over. Here's your homework, sweet brothers and sisters. Of course, you don't have to do it. You're your own free will. This is not a dictatorship. But I want to do this. Me, Janet, and Molly are making a commitment for the next 31 days. We want to read. We don't have to read all of these, but read most of them out loud. Out loud. Are you ready? Stand with me, please. Musicians, come and help me. You got your paper? Okay. Your voice is very powerful. Don't say these quietly. Say them out loud. You need to hear yourself saying these. Okay? This is will help to start changing your identity. If y'all remember, I told you I said one phrase for 7 years before it went from just my head to my heart. Remember me telling you that? Took 7 years for it to go from my head to my heart. But eventually it got to my heart. And when it got to my heart, it was quickened. And I knew I had it. I knew I had it. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. Didn't even have to say it anymore. I had it. Now it become a part of me. Does that make sense? It's what I want. Okay, here we are on number one. I want you for the next 31 days. I'm not saying you got to say all of these. Maybe you say three of them one day, three the next. It doesn't matter. I want to challenge you to do this. I am strong and mighty. On three, let's do it together. One, two, three. I am strong and mighty. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of me. I am a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I am a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. Pardon me, I wouldn't want to offend you for anything in the world, but I'm telling you, my prayer is, God, let me, Janet, Trey, and Molly be an embarrassment to the devil. Let us be an embarrassment to the devil. Let TPC be an embarrassment to the devil. So that when everybody walks in this church, they're going to say, that wasn't Pastor Wayne, that wasn't Sister Janet, that was God. God is in that house working in the lives of people. I want this church to be an embarrassment to the devil. Not so I can get on somebody's phone and tell them what we had Sunday morning. That's juvenile. I'm talking about let's take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. Come on, somebody. We are a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. See, that's what you got to identify. Now I'm trying to eat a little healthier. I'm a sweet person. I love sweets. And now what I'm trying to do is drink water, juice, or milk in the mornings. I get tea. I love iced tea. Oh, God, I love iced tea. But I'm going to try real hard not to drink it after 6 o'clock. Why? Because I'm just wanting to be healthy. So I start saying I am healthy so I can identify as a healthy person. I want to be healthy in my spirit. So what do I do for my spirit? I pray. I want to be healthy. So I pray for my spirit. I want to be healthy in my mind. So what do I do? I read. Read the word. I want to be healthy in my body. What do? I watch what I put in, garbage out. So I want to be healthy, spirit, soul, and body, right? I got off track, but hopefully you got that, okay? Because I don't want to have to... Just making sure if I want to say this. Brothers and sisters, you have a responsibility to take care of your temple. And I don't want to hurt anybody. I would never do that for the world. But you have to be very careful what you put in your body. You got to take care of your temple. Because it's one thing not to take care of your temple and then come and beg God for a miracle in health. Oh, I knew that'd go over like a crocheted bathtub. But I got to do my part. If I do my part right, got to do his. Y'all right? Y'all okay? All right, let's do one more and we'll be done. Y'all ready? Let's go to number two. Let's do it together. One, two, three. I am not my past. I am not what I did. I am who God says I am. He says I am forgiven. He says I am redeemed. He says I am free. I'm free. Hallelujah. So a while back, I challenged y'all, and I think most of you accepted the challenge. I think most of you did it with me and Janet. I appreciate that. So I'm going to challenge you again on a Wednesday night. How many think you'll read at least 3 or 4 out loud for the next 31 days? Put it on your refrigerator or wherever. You'll do it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because here's what I know. As the world gets darker, brothers and sisters, it's going to be real tempting to put your identity in what you possess. You can't, don't, we can't do that. Our identity is we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed and forgiven. We are called sons of God. Hallelujah. Would you put your little lesson down? And if you're a child of God, a believer, would you just slip your hands up right now and thank Him for what He did for you at Calvary? Thank Him right now that I'm accepted. Father, I just want to thank You again that, Lord, I'm accepted. That we've been chosen, that we're free. We've been redeemed. Hallelujah. We are sons and daughters of God. We are secure in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just thank You for the finished work of Calvary. Thank You, Father, for the finished work of Calvary. Thank You for all of God's people. Thank You for all who have joined us online. God, we want our identity to be in You, not what we own, not what we possess, not what we drive, what we wear, where we live. But we want our identity to be in Jesus Christ. We love You and we honor You and we praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Look at three people and tell them you are a child of God. Tell them you're a child of God. Tell them you're a child of God. Janet, tell me what's going on. Okay, Marilyn passed out. And so they're taking her to the hospital. Y'all, we're not going to stand for this. No, we're not. We have authority through the power of Jesus' name. We have authority through the power of Jesus' name. I've told y'all this before, and I'm going to tell you again. Signs follow them that believe. We need more than 3 points and a poem. We need the supernatural. We need the manifestation of the power of God. Now, here's what I need us to do. Where two or three agree is touching any one thing. Let's agree right now. And on authority, let's rebuke the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't come in my own might. I don't come because I'm worthy enough. I don't come, God, because I'm good enough. I come because of what You did for me at Calvary. And on the authority of the name of Jesus, I curse every work of the enemy off of Marilyn's life. And God, we thank You right now for restoring this young lady in her health, in her spirit, in her soul, and in her body. And Father, raise her up for the glory of God. And may she be a testimony to the miraculous power of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord praise. Somebody give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, may His face shine upon you and give you peace. May you be at the right place at the right time. And when you meet the right person, may you give them a word of encouragement and may they see the light of Christ in you in Jesus' mighty name. Go in peace. God bless you. Have a good night's rest. I love you.